Without putting anything on the screen, let me ask you a question. What's been our theme this year? Think about it. What has been the theme that we've tried to emphasize this year? Well, I hope that you know what we've been talking about, and that is, with God we can. Now, next Sunday, we're going to introduce our theme for the next year. That's why we're trying to have every member present here this next Sunday morning. And so all of us can be on the same page as we begin the year 2016. What's going to be our theme? What's going to be our emphasis in this coming year? And that's why we'd encourage every one of you to plan your activities so that you'll be able to be here next Sunday. You'll set the tone for the 52 times we'll meet in this next year. And so please, please try to be here, because that theme is really, really important. Of course, that theme is, with God we can. Now, let me ask you this. There are several verses in the Bible that talk about God helping us and that with God we can. If you tried to think of a verse in the Bible that talks about God helping you, I wonder which one you would think of. Well, perhaps you'd think of the one that is maybe the most obvious, and that is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You look at that passage and think about it. It's personal, is it not? I can do. There's a determination that is involved in that. That says my will is involved in this. And then I can do all things. Not just some things, but I can do all things. Talks about the limitless power and abilities and opportunities that God can bring before us. And we've talked about that all of this year, and we thought it'd be fitting as we end this year that we remind ourselves of some of the things that we've talked about. I can do all things through Christ. We live in an age of self-sufficiency. We live in an age in which, almost from emphasis, we want to do it ourselves. I don't need any help. I'll be able to do it myself. And it's a part of our culture and a part of who we are and what we are. But we need to understand that the can-do that is involved in the lives of this church, the can-dos that's involved in the lives of every member of this church, has to come through Christ. Christ's not going to do it all for us. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I'll just pray about it, God will take care of it. You know, it's sort of like the two guys who were out in a thunderstorm, and one of them said to the other one, said, let's just stop and pray. And the other said, no, let's run and pray. You know, Christ's not going to do it all for us, but I can do through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you look at the word strengthen. That emphasizes the weakness that we sense sometimes. And then the word me, the sentence begins and ends with that personal pronoun. It's I, it's me. And we need to be appreciative of the fact that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who encourage us and help us in so many ways. But we also need to recognize there's a personal responsibility. It's not that I'm just a member of a great church, which I believe that we're trying to be, one that'll bring glory and honor to God, but it's personal. It's the contribution that I make, and it's the I doing what I can do. It's that kind of thing. It's the can-dos of every member of this church, and it's personal. And so this year, we've talked about some of the things that we can do. In January, we talked about we can evangelize the world. We'll talk a lot more about this In next month. We'll emphasize it again, even in this lesson, of the fact that the Lord died and He has a purpose for us living on this earth. But I can do that. It's not, well, sometimes I might be able to do it, and if I get enough training, maybe at some time or another I can do. And when it comes to the matter of evangelism, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can find a place to serve in the church. I can find my place in the church through Christ who strengthens me. Not everybody can preach. Not everybody can be an elder. Not everybody can be a deacon. Not everybody can be a Bible class teacher. But there's a place for every one of us in the kingdom of God. And through Christ, I'm going to be able to find that abilities that I have and that I can give to the Lord that may be unique to me above all of the things that others have. I can do all things through Christ because I can anchor my faith and build my life around the anchor of my soul, and that is I can set my hope in Christ. I can, and this is one of the emphases as we had in April of this year, I can grow closer to God. I hope that you're not where you are right now is not the same place that you were a year ago. How much effort are we trying to do? How close do we live near to God? The emphasis even for this month is stated in another way. I live closer to God. You see, you and I need to understand that I have a personal responsibility in relationship to this. And as we've said several times, it's not that God has moved away from us. God, with outstretched arms, is saying, come unto me. He's ready to embrace us in those arms. And through Christ, I can make that happen. I cannot do it on my own. But the whole emphasis of this year has been to talk about all of the things that we can do. We can see souls that are around us. And we can help our young people. Young people, we want you to know as the church that you are a vital part of our interest in you and in our place of serving God. And that we who are older members, as you someday shall be, are determined that we're going to do all that we can to help you grow spiritually. And the emphasis that we placed in our youth work is the emphasis of us being a large family. Not to just have one person as a youth guy to work with our young people exclusively, but for all of us to be inclusive and to help and encourage. And we need to be reminded of that again and again. Is there more that I can do? Because I can do it through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then the last part of the year, the last 6 months, we'll not look at all of these individually. But just think about the emphasis that we've tried to place this year and to say, I'm going to be a better person. And we want to end this year with the emphasis that we began this year and to say personally, one-on-one, to just look at ourselves and look inward in ourselves and say, where am I? What do I need to do to serve God better? This year is already history. It's already past. But what can I do in my life in the coming year? How can I serve the Lord better? Because I can serve Him better. I can live closer to Him. I can be more diligent. I can be, and you think of all of the things that we've emphasized. For you see, it is the help of God that needs to underline our lives. God helping us needs to be the theme of our lives. We've talked about it all year. And I want to talk about three Bible characters or so, three or four Bible characters. And look at their lives, our heroes in the Bible. And look at God's willingness to help them. And when God was willing to help them, and they were willing to say to the God of heaven, God, use me. Open doors before me. Give me an opportunity, God. And oh, how I wish that were a part of the daily prayer of every member of this church that says, God, I'm getting older, my life is coming to an end, and I recognize it. God, use me. Open doors before me. Because I want to serve you better. I want to live better for you. Let's look first at how it was the theme of Caleb's life. You know Caleb, do you not? You usually associate him with another Bible character, Joshua and Caleb. The scripture reading that was given this morning was about the time when Caleb comes to the forefront in the Bible. And so spies are sent by Moses into the promised land. They've left the land of Egypt. They've not yet arrived in the promised land. And there's Palestine that lies before them. That was the promised land that God promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob he would give to their descendants. And they're ready to enter into the promised land. And so spies are sent out. I hope you know that there were 12 of those who were sent out, one from each of the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob, as it were. And so they go out, and it's their responsibility. And for almost 6 weeks, they're up in that promised land. And 40 days later, they come back. And I want you to understand that there were two views that were seen of that promised land. Now, the reality is, everybody saw exactly the same thing. When they went into the promised land and they came back and they began to talk about the cities that were there, they all knew the cities were there. There was unanimity of agreement about the fact that there are walled cities that are there. There's unanimity of agreement about the fact that they're very numerous, the people that are there. They were unanimous in talking about the fact some of those guys there are giants. Some of them are really big. They brought back, and there's unanimity of agreement about, it's a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Unanimous agreement about it. But there were those who were so negative when they looked at the things that were there, all they could see was the negative aspect of it. Isn't that true about people today? And isn't that true sometimes about Christians and the attitude they have towards serving God and the attitude that they have toward the church? Isn't it tragic sometimes that to our children and to those around us, we talk about in a negative way about the church, and we almost develop an attitude of what they are doing. Let me tell you what they are doing down at church. As though they're not a part of the body of Jesus. But sometimes there are so individuals who look at the kingdom of God and look at fellow Christians, and all they can see is all the negatives that's in their lives. Young people, sometimes you may have sensed this. Whenever older people look at you and talk about, well, how terrible young people are. You know, they don't understand that you'd on the other side of that, you look at these older people and talk about how terrible these older people are too. You know, there's... And yet, we need to understand that in the kingdom of God, we do not always need to look at the negatives of everything that happens. There are folks that come to church. And all they come to church, as they walk away from the church, they talk about the negatives of church. Did you hear how often that baby cried this morning? I don't know why they don't do something about that. Well, did you see so-and-so? They slept halfway through the sermon. I'm rather thankful they didn't sleep all the way through the sermon. But you know what I mean? Well, did you see what she was dressing? Did you see how she was dressed? Did you see this? Did you see what happened? And they walk out of the building having never worshiped God, and they've seen and done exactly the same thing as other people who walk into this building, and they walk out refreshed. And so there are these two spies, Joshua and Caleb. And Numbers chapter 13 says they came back and they saw something in that land that others did not see. And that is, they saw that land spiritually. They had eyes of faith that allowed them to look at that promised land. And Caleb is the one who says, God's going to help us. Let us go up. We are well able to take this land. And all the negativity that's saying, we're not able to do this, we're not able to do this. Here's an individual who is characterized by a realization that God was going to help him. Let us go up. Let us go up right now. What are you waiting on? And the people got so upset at them that they were ready to kill Joshua and Caleb because they were so adamant about the fact that God is with us. We can do great things for God. Now you see, if you let the world set the tone of your spirituality, if you let sometimes some people in the church set the tone of your spirituality, you will not be close to God. You will have a mindset about what they are doing down at church, and this is what they have decided to do down at church. No, no. We are the body of Jesus, and with Caleb's attitude, we ought to say, God is with us. God is our helper. Let's go do something about it. We'll talk application of this in our personal life, but just in passing, let us understand that when there are challenges that lie before us, and as we look to the future, we need to say, as we said at the start of this year, we need to say it at the end of this year, and we need to say it throughout all of our lives, God is going to help me. You know how much God wants you to be in heaven? Are you aware how much God will help you to go to heaven? What about Gideon? Many of you, hopefully most of you, will know the story about Gideon. He was a man who understood the help of God, and at the end part of his life, he understood it a lot better than he did at the beginning part of his life. When the Lord comes to Gideon and says, here are the Midianites. And there's over 100,000 Midianites. And Gideon, I want you to be the one that will go and lead the people of God and overthrow these evil Midianites who are oppressing God's people. You know what Gideon said? When Gideon saw the challenge that was God before that lay before him, he did not see himself as being some talented individual. Is that you? As you think about the church, do you look at yourself and say, there's not really much I could do in the church. I really don't have the abilities like so-and-so has, and sort of let somebody else do it. And Gideon is there. And when God says, here's what I want you to do, Gideon said, now wait a minute. And then the Lord told him again what he wanted him to do. And that was to get his army ready. So he signals and sends the signal out throughout all the land, and 32,000 soldiers come under Gideon's command. Now there's more than 120,000 of the Midianites. Let's see, 32,000 against 100, is that 4-1? Clayton, if it were you, could you take on four guys your size? Maybe they're giants in that land. Do you think you could whip four guys if they came at you in four different directions? I don't know, but it's going to get worse than that. Because now the Lord says to Gideon, Gideon, you've got too many people in your army. Let everybody that's afraid go home. And 22,000 of them went home. More than 120,000 Midianites and 22,000. Now the odds now are not 4-1. The odds now, you'll help me with that number, is it 12-1? Isn't that amazing? Okay, Clayton. You've got 12 guys. You know, that's the entire football team over at Jupiter Christian. You're out there on your own, and they've got an extra player, and you've got the football. I want you to win this game for the school. 12-1 odds. And God says to Gideon, you got too many men in your army. And so through the plan that God devised, there were 9,700 that were on the one hand and 300 on the other hand. And if I'd been Gideon, I thought, I've got 300 men, too many. Need to send these 300 home. And God said, no, you send the 9,000 home with an army of 300. He's got to fight the Midianites with an army of 120,000. Gideon, how do you see yourself? I don't know if I can do this or not. And then the armament that God gave them, we'll not go through the whole story, but you remember, they went out with a sword and they had a trumpet. And then would you believe they had a pitcher and they had a lamp and they were going to break the pitcher and hold up the lamp? Well, that'll work marvels, won't it? Against 120,000, 300 of us breaking pitchers. And what's that going to be? And yet the plan of God was such that Gideon's weak faith, and that's the point I want to make here. You look at Gideon, he may have weak faith. when God said, I want you to go to destroy the Midianites, he said, wait just a minute. He said, could you give me some proof of this? Let the dew in the morning be all on the ground, but don't let any of it be on the fleece. I hope I've got this in the right order. And the next morning, there was dew everywhere, the dew on the ground. The fleece was as dry as it could be, or perhaps it was the other way around, because he did it both ways. And he said, now the next time, let it all let the ground be dry and let the fleece be wet. And they picked up the fleece and wrung out a bowl of water out of it. God, you sure you want me to do this? He surrounds the army of the, or he well, if 300 men can surround 120,000 men, in some fashion they did that. And the Lord said, now get in, go down, listen to what they're talking about in that land. And he went down to the camp of the Midianites, and a man had had a dream that was evidence of the fact that God was going to destroy, using the sword of Gideon to destroy them. Gideon had real weak, you have weak faith? You want your faith to be greater? I want you to understand the mindset that says, with God's help I can do it, is the mindset every one of us needs to have. With God's help I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that a remarkable story that's in the Bible? I'll tell you something even more remarkable. When you read about the faith of Abraham, who went out not knowing where he was going, the faith in taking the city of Jericho, and all of the heroes of faith, guess whose name is right in the middle of Hebrews chapter 11 about all of these great men of faith? There's Gideon. There's Gideon who, when God says, here's what I want you to do, he said, who, me? I can't do that. Prove to me, God, that you're with me. Show me that that you're with me. Well, would you show me again? And would you show me again? And yet with that kind of weak faith, and I'm not trying to mock the weakness of faith, but sometimes we think because we don't have the faith that would allow us to, as Peter did, say, Lord, if it's you, bid me to walk out on that water, I'm not going to ask the Lord to do that. I don't have that kind of faith. I'm going to be the man who's in the back of the boat. If there are 12 of us walking on the water, I want to be number 12. You understand what I'm talking about? Here I am. But God said, Gideon, I can use you. Remember us at Palm Beach Lakes. Individually, the I and the me of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That individual, with the help of God, can accomplish far more than he would ever be able to imagine him accomplishing. What about Elisha? We know the story of Elijah a lot better. We know the courage that he had when he faced off the prophets of Baal. But Elijah was not going to be on the earth forever. And so 2 Kings chapter 1 tells us of that day. Whenever Elijah was to be taken up, he takes younger Elisha with him. And they, by the way, open the waters of the Jordan River with the garment of Elijah. They use that garment, hit the Jordan River, and it walked. The Jordan River opens up. It wasn't just the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River that was crossed during the time of Joshua. It's when Elijah crossed the Jordan River, because it opened up and it parted and he walked through the Jordan River. And they get to the other side, and Elijah says to young Elisha, what can I give to you? Don't you know that I'm about to be taken up by God? And listen to Elisha. Give me, he says, a double portion of your spirit. Help me to be like you and double that. It's rather ironic that he may help you to remember that Elijah did 7 miracles and Elisha did 14 miracles. Not just a double portion, but a double of the number of recording miracles. 21 miracles in the time of Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha performed twice as many as Elijah did. What about you? I'm going to do all things through Christ. God, grant my request. Give me a double portion of a spirit that I do not have. Help me to be like that individual for whom I have great admiration, and help me to be twice that. That's what I want to be. And then there is that day in the time of Elisha, when the armies of Syria have come down, and an entire army has come down to a city, the city is Dothan, to capture Elisha. Oh, the king of Syria, he's in trouble, because every time he plans to punish the Israelites, they find out about it. So he'll lay another trap to capture the Jewish army, and they escape from it. And finally he says, there must be a spy in our camp. And one of his soldiers who knew what was going on said, no, it's not a spy in your camp. It's Elisha who's in the other camp. And his God is helping him to tell the king of the Jews every plan that you have. So he sends his army down and surrounds the city. As they surround the city, Elisha sends out his servant. He arose early, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15, and went out. There was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said, Master, what shall we do? They're just the two of them. People in that city, they're not going to be any help, even though this is a Jewish city. They're not going to be any help to Elisha nor his servant. And so he says to his servants, go, what do you see? And he says, everywhere I look, this city is surrounded with an army, with horses and with chariots. What shall we do? And he answered, says, don't be afraid. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. Jerry Hopkins, you've mentioned several times the name of V.P. Black as an individual who impacted your life years ago. I remember Brother Black telling this very story. And he said, I see those two men standing there, and Elisha says, those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And the servant went, one, two. We outnumber them? And so Elisha says, let us pray. Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he may see. The Lord opened the eyes of that young man, the servant, and the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Is God involved in your life? Here's heavenly help in the life of Elisha. And it's described as chariots of fire. You see, Elijah had ascended into heaven in a single chariot of fire. But now, surrounding that army are the chariots, plural, of fire from heaven itself. Is God concerned about what's happening in your life? Do you know the verse that says the angel of the Lord, one translation has it in the plural, the angels of the Lord encompasses the people of God. You believe that? Do you believe that God said of all of the angels in heaven, there's not a single angel in heaven whose work is not to go out and minister to those who are the heirs of eternal life. That's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Just the last two verses, of Hebrews chapter 1. That every angel in heaven, his primary work is to minister to the saints. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because they that are with us are more than those that are with them. And that's what faith in the eyes of a man that has faith in God It's that faith that allows him to see things. You see, Elisha knew that those who were with him were more than those who were with the enemy. And I want to tell you something. One single Christian coupled with God is more powerful than Beelzebub, Satan, the devil, and all the demons of hell. You as a Christian, relying in God and God's help, are greater than all the demonic forces that could be brought to destroy you. The theme of life is to believe that God helps. We don't have time to develop fully develop the theme of the early church. It was, God's going to help us. They were given an impossible commission. Last thing Jesus said was, hundreds of thousands, millions and millions of people are in this world. Peter and Andrew and James and John, you apostles who are here as I'm ascending into heaven, here's what I want you to do. You go to every being on this earth and you preach the gospel to them. You 11 men. Impossible. Impossible. We don't have radio, we don't have television, we don't have printing presses. There's no way on earth we'd ever be able to accomplish something. Given an impossible task, and yet it was with God's help, for the Lord had said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm going to help you do it. But wait a minute, there's going to be adversity. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be driven and scattered all over the world. Oh, absolutely. You'll be put in prison. Absolutely. But all that did was enhance the very fulfilling of the Great Commission. Are you aware that Nero had the gospel preached to him? Paul appealed to Caesar. And it was Nero who was Caesar. And Paul stood before evil, vile Nero and preached the gospel to Nero. And so from that prison cell in Rome, Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul says, and guess what we've done? The gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. How'd you do it, men? Apostle, how did you do it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You want to be a soul winner? Then start praying. And pray every day until the Lord answers your prayer. And you can pray it this way if you like. God, I'm scared to death. I don't know how to talk to anybody about the gospel, but back me into a corner somewhere so I have to speak up for what I believe. And you can do that without fear. Because they that are with you in that study are more numerous than those individuals you're studying with. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, it's the theme of our lives too. It's the theme of our lives because we're never alone. I capitalize the word never on the screen to make sure that we see it. There's never been a time when God was not available for you to help you in the most trying need. When Satan is there doing everything he can to get you to do wrong. I can do it through Christ, my strength. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God is faithful, who has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we will not fear what man shall do to me. We're never alone in relationship to that. And the reality is, this faith in the power of God and in the reality of God being in our lives is the assurance of our victory. For John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith in God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and with faith in the very fact that God is with me as a father, that God is with me as a husband, that God is with me in the workplace, that God is with me in the home, that God is with me in the school, that God is with me in tempting and trying situations. I'm going to rely on God and know that by the help of God, I can accomplish this. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us live our lives as individuals who are full of faith, knowing that when we're full of faith, when we're faithful, a crown of life awaits us. God wants to help you. If you're not a Christian today, you need to be a Christian this very day. Before this year ends, before this day ends, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus. You need to repent of your sins. The Bible is very plain in saying that you need to confess your faith in Jesus and to be immersed in water that your sins might be washed away by the blood of Jesus. And then you become His. You're in His family. You're born of the water and the Spirit into the family of God. God help us to be determined to go to heaven above everything. Because you see, to Christians, He says, you be faithful to death, I'll give you the crown of life. As this year comes to an end, how can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing? Will you come?